What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and I'm back with Dr. Daryl Glover. Daryl, how is your patient here today?
Jen, I'm not going to lie. I am tired. I had a long day, and I'm just ready to get into bed and maybe grab a nice glass of red wine or something. I mean, I'm tired. How about yourself?
Oh, my gosh. At least it's not just me. I'm so pooped out. But, you know, that we put a lot of passion into what we do every day.
Absolutely.
We pay a lot of attention to our patients, and it can be fatiguing at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it was a tough one. But like you said, we put a lot of passion in it. I'm passionate about eyewear, passionate about optometry. And the guest that we have today is really passionate, and she's just really getting started in the eye care industry.
Yes, I am so excited to announce because you guys are probably following her on Instagram and don't even realize this. She is very out there, super fashionable account, and doing a great job being an ambassador for eyes before she's even graduated from optometry school. Please welcome to the show, Nishan Presley.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Well, Nishan, we're so honored to have you on here today because you have just been blowing up on social media. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your background and where you're at in your optometry career?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of my background, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania called Hummelstown. So Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, really close to Hershey, Pennsylvania. A lot of people know about those Hershey chocolate bars. So I grew up there, and I actually didn't have my first eye exam until about 18, believe it or not. So I didn't even know about optometry as an industry until later in my teen years. So it was really awesome having an eye exam, and getting into eye care came about when I went on a field trip in my senior year of high school to the Penn State Hershey Eye Center. And by going there, that's when I was truly introduced to the career of optometry, and I was able to shadow the lead optometrist there. And ever since then, I just fell in love with the industry and all that it has to offer.
I love that you had the opportunity to shadow, and I feel like that's one thing that's truly missing in the eye care industry. The ODs that are coming in, they haven't shadowed enough. They didn't work for a doctor prior to going into the eye care industry. And I think that's huge. I think it's a major move in regards to you being a successful optometrist in the eye care industry. What are your thoughts, Jen? Are you having the same thing when you have dialogue with the students?
Yeah. I you know, here's the thing. We know that the word is not out about optometry as a career and a profession. And many people aren't finding out about it until, you know, college years or as they're applying and they realize, oh, there's another medical profession. Maybe I can apply there. And by that time, you've probably already found a passion for something else. So finding out about it when you're younger, either through your local eye doctor or at least in high school, it's so much more ideal for you to be able to have that on your mind as a potential career path.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, Jen, but when I have a patient come in and they're showing some interest, or even if they're not showing interest, I always tell them, hey, do you want to be an eye doctor? You want to be like Dr. Glover? And they'll start laughing, but I'm being dead serious. You know, I'm like, hey, we can get you in here. You can shadow. I don't care if you're 5 or 15, but hey, let's make it happen, you know? So we definitely need to do our part.
And so obviously being from Pennsylvania, how did you decide what optometry school would be right for you to go to?
Oh, well, I currently go to Salus University, but the name has changed to Salus University from the Pennsylvania College of Optometry. So actually, deciding to go to that school wasn't based on location. My first choice was actually Ohio State University, but I ended up getting into a 3-year scholars program at PCO. And once I got into that program, I was like, heck yeah, sign me up. 3 years, let's do this, in and out.
That is so exciting. Daryl, did they offer a 3-year program when you were at PCO?
Jen, great question. I have no idea. And this is something that I know I would have not pursued because I need to do 4 years. I need as much time as possible to make it through. But Nishan, you're doing it. Let's hear about it. Tell us a little bit more about it in detail.
Yeah, so the 3-year program, it began, I think, back in 2015. Or 2014, they were doing some trial runs of it, but they really got it down packed, I believe, around 2014 or 2015. So I'm actually only the third class of the Scholars Optometry program. So it's still fairly new. And that program is specifically for students who are looking into more or less getting out of school a little bit earlier, but also they're looking for students who are able to handle the rigorous curriculum that we have to go through. So for that program specifically, you have to have at least a 3.5 GPA. You also have to have at least a 330 or higher on your OAT. And it may seem attainable, but a lot of people and a lot of students, especially the ones I talk to on Instagram, they're having a hard time attaining that 330 OAT score, which kind of keeps them away. And also, you have to complete at least a minimum of 100 hours shadowy experience before starting optometry school. So those are just the requirements. The program itself, I think it was great. It's really, I will say, the program is slightly independent-based learning because some of our courses are online. But I think it is an awesome program, and I think it will open the doors for a lot of other optometry schools to possibly start their own three-year program.
If you don't mind, I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into the program, because I know when I went to PCO, because we went to the same school, that first semester we took like 25 credit hours, and the second semester it was like 30 credit hours because they were trying to get us into clinic earlier. Right. That was one of the main reasons why I went to PCO. Number one, because you know you get a semester more of clinic, and then number two, they'd also had the highest Black population, African Americans. Mm-hmm. It's like 12 that they have every year, and I went to school and I wanted to see myself, you know. But let's break down a little bit more of that program. I mean, how were you able to get through this, and how many credit hours are you taking? I mean, I know it's independent learning, but let's break it down for more individuals that may be interested in actually going this route.
So I will say, just kind of piggybacking off what you said, I chose to go to PCO as well because it was such a large Black population based in when compared to the other programs that I've seen or I toured at. But when it comes to the Scholars Optometry program, I'm actually the first Black student who got into the program. And I think that was a great stepping stone, but I know we have a little bit farther to go.
Absolutely. And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, when it comes to how we do it or how I did it, when it comes to the, like you said, you had a certain amount of credits per semester. Well, my program is actually broke down into a quarter system. So instead of us going to school for one semester, then you have a break, and then the next semester, we had a quarter system that was about 10, 11 weeks. And then within that quarter, you took your main classes. Now, when it comes to the credit hours, I'm not completely sure about how many credit hours we took, but I know that we had the same amount of credit hours in the same courses as the traditional four-year program. So say 25 and 25, that's 50 credit hours. We had the same amount of credit hours just spread out in four quarters versus two semesters.
This is an extremely competitive program. I mean, the numbers and the scores that you put out there,
yes.
The shadowing requirements to get accepted into this is such an honor, of course. One of the things that brings to mind, I mean, obviously the coursework is extremely difficult to be able to get all that in, but do you have actually less clinical care hours to be able to complete all the coursework in such a short time?
That's a really good question. And the answer is no. So when it comes to the small competitive program, yes, there's only 11 people in my class. So when it comes to that really small cohort in class, I loved it. One, because we got that individualized attention from our professors. And two, when it did come to those clinical skills lab, we got that individual attention from our preceptors who were teaching us. So the way my program worked, instead of us starting clinic, more or less, for most optometry students, they start either the end of their second year or the beginning of their third year. That's when they start seeing their own patients. For the Scholars Optometry program, we start seeing our first patient by ourselves February of our first year. So it's really soon that they put us in there, but we already passed all of the requirements and all of the tests needed in the clinical skills portion to be able to perform those exams.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about boards a little bit. Do you feel like you were well prepared for boards? Do you feel like you had enough time to study and prepare to knock it out the park?
Yeah, so when it came to boards, I started studying in September. So that was really how I made sure I tackled boards. So with this program, you don't really get too much time off to study for boards. They only give you a week without classes and without clinic to study for boards. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but I will say I felt very prepared for boards because, for one, I had a study schedule and I started early, and two, a lot of the information was very fresh on my mind because I just had those classes.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like this program is pretty amazing. I mean, PCO has something on their hands. I mean, number one, you finished school earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they have a high board pass rate, which is phenomenal.
They do.
And number three, you're not really losing any clinic time when you're out there doing your rotations and stuff. The one main question I have is the costs.
Good question.
I mean, like, what are we talking about here?
So I feel like I fell in the lucky end of it because I did not, or I should say, PCO did not charge us extra. So they didn't take what it would cost to be in school for 4 years and divide that into three. We had the same tuition and expenses as the regular 4-year traditional program. So my tuition was not any more, but they actually did start doing that where they're raising the tuition of the scholars program to more or less fit into what it would cost for a 4-year program.
Well, you definitely had the timing perfect then, since you saved right. a ton of money in that last year.
And that definitely counts when you're about to graduate and, you know, that debt is knocking right on your door.
So what do you plan to do with this extra year that you have that other optometry students do not?
So when it came to that extra year, the thing that's been on my mind throughout my whole optometry school career was, should I do a residency? And I went on interviews and I applied to residencies, and ultimately I did decide to opt out of pursuing a residency, mainly because I wasn't doing a residency for any type of specialty. It would have just been primary care / ocular disease. And I realized throughout my time on my clinical rotations that I don't want to teach, nor do I want to work in a VA or hospital setting. I'm really interested in the more MDOD private practice route of optometry. So with that, I decided to opt out of that extra year of training and instead begin my life and start my career.
And I think you've done a phenomenal job of doing that, because I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about how much of a superstar you are when it comes to social media. You know, I've been following you for quite a bit of time, and Jen has as well. And I had the opportunity of meeting you at Vision Expo mm-hmm. East this past year or last month. And you're doing some phenomenal things. I mean, let's take it from the top. Instagram, give your handle, and let's just talk about what you're trying to do and how you're branding yourself when it comes to social media.
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is at Eyes on Niche, EYES on O-N, and then Niche is NISH. So I actually just kind of got catapulted into this eye care industry on Instagram. So to be completely honest, I kind of knew it existed, but I didn't know how deep it went. So started Instagram and just started posting my journey just a little bit in optometry school. The thing that really took off was I did Case of the Days. So when I actually had time to be more into social media and I started my clinical rotations where I was seeing different eye cases and certain diseases, I really wanted to show my followers, like, this is what I see every day. A lot of my followers didn't really understand what optometry was, and some even thought that all we did were prescribed glasses and contacts. They didn't even realize that there was a medical side of it. So just by doing that and posting my cases of the days, and in this, I would post a case, I'll give my followers background, say, for instance, this is a 55-year-old male, he's complaining of blurry vision, only in one eye, and I would kind of give them a picture of what it would look like, and it wasn't my patient's picture, it was pictures I would find on Google, and then I would ask them, what do you think caused this disease? And with that, I gained a lot of attention and a lot of followers, and I started to get more into the more or less area of Instagram, and more pre-optometry students began to follow me and ask me certain questions in my DMs. And I was like, I need to put my life out there a little bit more because, for one, I'm a Black optometry student. Like you said earlier, Dr. Darrow, it's kind of rare. There's not a lot of us. And then two, I'm in a 3-year program, which is even more rare. So putting all that out there on Instagram has really gained me a lot of followers and also allowed me to have a platform where I could discuss these things with my followers and help as many people as I can.
You're doing so much so early in your career. So I really applaud all the things that you've done to put yourself out there and to be an ambassador for optometry school. Because mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you've committed yourself to being at this point. And I've just loved that industry, and I've seen conferences like Vision Expo East, for example, embracing you and saying, hey, you're the type of person that we want to feature when you're at.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about some of the really great stuff you got to do when you were at Vision Expo this year.
And Vision Expo was a one in a lifetime experience. So that was actually my first Vision Expo experience. Being in the 2-year program, it was really difficult to get off and go to Vision Expo because we always had like finals or midterms around that time. But I'm a strong believer in things happen during a certain time for a reason. So I feel like going to Vision Expo during this time, it was where I was supposed to be. So Terrence, the head of Vision Expo, he actually has been following me on Instagram for a pretty long time. And one day he just DM'd me and he was like, hey, I love what you're doing. I love your following. Would you be interested in being a social influencer / student ambassador for Vision Expo? And I was just like, what? Like me? This was the first time that someone actually reached out in that way and asked for me to be a part of something so big. So with that, going to Vision Expo, I learned so much. I was a student ambassador in their career zone, which was actually the first time it was featured at Vision Expo. And I know they're going to be doing it at Vision Expo West as well. So with that, I was tasked on interviewing certain companies who are looking to hire new grads or even young ODs, and just asking them, why should young ODs look into their practice or their corporation for employment? And that was an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. I learned so much and I met so many people like both of you. It was amazing.
Wow. Darrow, we're going to have to retire. Next generation for rock.
There's a new wave in the world, Jared, in the eye care industry. So yeah, I might as well go ahead and just say goodbye. You guys can send your condolences. My career is over. Thank you. No, but seriously, you're doing some amazing things in the industry. I love watching you on Instagram. I know you got this new YouTube channel thing that you're doing.
Yeah, just trying.
Let's dive into that a little bit as well.
Yeah, my YouTube is actually right now is I Am Nishan. And I started that YouTube, but didn't really know what to do with it. So I was just following certain people and people who I looked up to. And when I looked at them, I was like, wow, they have a YouTube. So that's kind of how it got started. But once I started to more or less dive into optometry and shift my Instagram to more optometry related content, I decided to start posting more about my journey in optometry school on YouTube. So I wanted that to be a place where my followers can learn me a little bit more, learn more of my personality, not just looking at the pictures or the quick videos I do on Instagram. And I also wanted them to just see more of my life. So I have stuff with my boyfriend where he helps me a lot with my YouTube series and videos. He's an awesome videographer, and sometimes I even feature him in the videos. And I have a lot more content coming up. I've been brainstorming, and I'm looking forward to putting out more optometry-related videos to help students learn more about the industry and also what to do and where to go and understand how to get to where they want to go.
So graduation is very, very close at this point.
Yes.
And are you still under the stress of trying to find a position, or do you have something locked down already?
I actually already have something locked down, and I'm really, really excited about this opportunity. I started looking for positions 6 months before I graduated. My mentor told me, start looking now, because when you actually do start looking right before graduation, most of the jobs are going to be taken or everyone's going to be gunning for them. So I started really early, and I decided to accept a position at an ODMD group practice down here in the good old Sunshine State of Florida. So I will be living in the Orlando area.
Wow, that congratulations. Anytime you get a job before you graduate, thank it's super you. Impressive in my book.
That's major. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
If anyone's listening today, would you mind sharing a good contact information? Because I know you're probably going to get some potential optometry students wanting to learn more about this three-year program, and definitely a lot of people wanting to figure out how you've been so successful on your social media as well.
Yes, definitely. So my email address is my first name, Nishan, N as in Nancy, I-S-H-A-N, .Presley, P-R-E-S-S-L-E-Y, @outlook.com. And also feel free to contact me or DM me on Instagram @EyesOnNish.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.